Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is today's gospel, especially the confession that Peter makes, where he says that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, we're getting close to the school year beginning, and, you know, it kind of always makes me think, especially when the school fills up, about myself in school. And oh, it seemed like inevitably if I was in a class and I didn't know the answer to something that the teacher asked, that she would ask me. And I tried to find ways to get around that. Probably the dumbest thing I did was to be very, very quiet, which was completely out of nature for me. So it was like shining a spotlight on me. And if I was quiet, she knew I don't know the answer. She could have been nice and passed me by, but no, she always asked. And so everything at that moment depended on me. At least in the school I was at, we had to go up in the front and stand up there and then answer the wrong answer. That's what I had to do. Now, in this text, well, sometimes we feel that way about our lives, our walking with Christ. It all depends on us. On our Bible study, on our worship life, on our prayer life, on all these things, so that we can get closer to Christ. And that's why this text is so incredibly reassuring, because it shows us exactly why we are close to Christ. And it's not all dependent on us. And we really see that in the context of this passage we have today, or this gospel lesson. We've been hearing the context for the last 3 or 4 weeks. First, we heard about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Okay, wow, the disciples should have got that message, but just to make sure, that evening Jesus walks on water. Just to make the point to them, I am not just a miracle worker, I am God. Of course, Peter doesn't really get the message because he thinks the lesson for that evening is to try to prove his faith, and so he gets out and sinks. But once they get in the boat, now the disciples, all of them, say, surely this is the Son of God. Okay, they've learned their lesson, and now they know from now on, everything's fine. Now, last week we heard Jesus meeting the Syrophoenician woman. What happens right after that is, now just to make sure they know the lesson, he feeds 4,000 plus people with just a little bit of food. And then as soon as they're done and collect all the food that's left over, they get in the boat. Now keep in mind, these are the disciples who know full well that Jesus is God and what he's done. They get in the boat, and the first thing they complain about when Jesus says, you know, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and scribes, they go, ooh, leaven, he's talking about yeast. He must be upset because we only brought one loaf of bread. He just fed 5,000 and then 4,000. And they're upset because they only have one loaf? That's going to feed a lot of people from what I can see. And Jesus just kind of goes off on them, right? He says, look, I fed 5,000 people. How much leftover did you pick up? Okay, I fed 4,000 people. How much leftover did I pick up? Did you guys pick up? And then he goes, okay, when I'm talking about leaven, I'm not talking about a loaf of bread. I'm talking about the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. And it's almost funny in chapter 16, verse 12, because you really see that for a change, it seems the disciples got it, right? And they say, guess what? I don't think Jesus is talking about a loaf of bread. I think he's actually talking about the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees. Great. They just learned the message. They got it. But do they really? I don't think they really do. One of my favorite scenes from a movie with Jim Carrey. He's the dumber one of the Dumb and Dumber, and he's been tracking this lady that he is madly in love with across the country, finally catches up with her. Now, he's named Lloyd, and he's kind of goofy looking, and Mary is just beautiful. And so he finally tracks her down. He says, okay, I've traveled a long way, you know. I mean, what chances do I have? You know, just hit me with it. She goes, not good. And he goes, not good like 1 out of 100? And she goes, more like 1 out of 1,000,000. And then he pauses. And all of a sudden a smile comes on his face and he says, so you're telling me there's a chance? See? Now granted, technically that's true. She did say there was a chance, but that's not the message she's really trying to convey to him. She's trying to say you have no chance. That's what the disciples are here in verse 12 of this chapter 16. They're saying, okay, we know exactly what Jesus is talking about. He says the leaven is the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees. The thing is, they don't understand what Jesus means by that. We can see that in context here. Now, as soon as Jesus has fed the 4,000, the Pharisees and the scribes come up to him. Keep in mind, not only have they seen this miracle take place, but they know about the feeding of the 5,000. And they come up to him, and what do they ask Jesus? You know, all you have to show us is a sign. Just show us a sign, and we believe. Well, how many people do you have to feed to call it a sign, right? In other words, the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees is that they see Jesus, they see his message, they see what he does, they see his signs, they see the miracles, but they don't see. And the disciples are just as guilty as that. That's what makes Peter's confession so remarkable. Peter and the rest of the disciples are nowhere near knowing what Jesus is doing. And their walk of discipleship can hardly be called wonderful. They don't know who Jesus is even, after all of these lessons. A couple weeks, I'm going to be going to the Theological Symposium in St. Louis. And so, you know, kind of got me thinking about going back to that school. I always reminisce, and a lot of my classmates will be there. And so I was thinking about my time at the seminary. I was there 2 years, had a blast, okay? And then third year was vicarage. That was kind of rough. But then the fourth year, you think would be the best. Well, halfway through the fourth year, all of a sudden, at least for me, it dawned on me that, you know, pretty soon they're going to be asking me to leave school. I mean, I'd been in school since preschool. What's that? Preschool, 8, 9, 10, 14, well, I don't know, 18 years? All of a sudden, no school anymore. They actually expect me to be a pastor. What are they thinking, right? I don't know. And so every day coming up to call day, I got more and more nervous. And then just for fun, I happened to come across the video of my call day service. And I saw me, it's kind of grainy video, it's not the best, but I could see me and my friends all coming up and getting our call documents. And I listened to the sermon a couple days ago. I didn't listen to it in April 1991, but I listened to it, you know, a couple days ago, and the sermon was really about that. Why are you a pastor? Was basically the sermon. And he said, it's not because you learned Greek, it's not because you learned Hebrew, it's not because you learned theology, it's not because you can find certain things in the Bible, it's not because of any of those things. That would have been really helpful to hear at the time, but I was too nervous to listen. He says it's because you've been called. Your church has called you, and God has called you through that church. In other words, you're not a pastor because of who you think you are and what you've learned. You're a pastor because God called you to be. And he said, just like people have been called into their vocations, they're called to that because God did it. They're parents because God called them to be parents. They're caregivers because God called them to be that. They're friends because God called them to be that. It's God's doing. I think that's very important for this text. Because, like I said, the idea, I mean, Peter's great confession is just dead on. You are the Christ, the Messiah, okay, the Son of the living God. Absolutely right. Peter did not learn that. Peter did not learn that by seeing Jesus feed the 5,000 or walking on water or feeding 4,000. He didn't learn it that way. Jesus makes it very clear how he came to that. It says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. In other words, blessed, passive. You have been blessed because, again, another passive, because this has been revealed to you by the Father. That's how you know. You can only know because it's been revealed to you. And then he says something very important that is often misunderstood. He said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. It's one of those times where it kind of pays to know Greek, you know, because when you see the Greek, you can see a mistake that's easily made here. He says, you are Peter, Petros, that's a masculine ending, and upon this rock, Petras, Alpha Sigma AS, which is a feminine ending, I will build my church, Ecclesion, feminine ending. Basically, what that means is when he says, Peter, on this rock I will build the church. He's not saying, Peter, on you I'm going to build the church. He says, Peter, on your confession, I am going to build this church. And the confession is who Jesus is as the Son of God and what that means. What's really comforting about this text is what happens next and what happens for the rest of the Gospels with Peter and with the rest of the disciples. Just take Peter, for example. couple verses now, he makes a complete 180, okay? So here he was, you know, the star pupil, getting the answer right. And in a couple verses, he's trying to stop Jesus' ministry, basically telling him he really shouldn't die on a cross for the salvation of the world. Something that God had promised mankind with Adam and Eve, and he's trying to stop him. And Jesus is a little rough on him. He says, hey, get behind me, Satan. You know, that's a little harsh. And he straightens him out. But he doesn't fail him, and he doesn't fire him, and he doesn't tell him to leave. In fact, 6 days later, he takes Peter up on the Mount of Transfiguration so again he can learn who he is. And much later, on the night that Jesus is betrayed, even though Jesus knows Peter's going to deny him 3 times, he still gives him the Lord's Supper. And in the Garden of Eden, even though Peter falls asleep, Jesus keeps waking him up. And after his suffering, death, and resurrection, Jesus appears to Peter to give him peace. And at the Sea of Galilee, Jesus forgives his sin. And at the Mount of Ascension, Jesus calls him to send the good news of who he is to people who don't know it. And then he reassures him by saying, and as you do this, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. The value of our discipleship is not based on the strength of our faith and how close we follow. The power of our discipleship is based on the one we follow. And like Peter, every day of our lives, our eyes open up a little bit more to seeing exactly who this Messiah, this Son of God, truly is. He loves us. He forgives us. He saves us. And on that, the church is founded. And on that, our lives are built. In Jesus' name, amen.